This week on the Believe and Become podcast, we are talking about renewing your mind for freedom in Christ. We understand the struggle of knowing you're free, but not being able to walk in it. We have been there. Today, we're going to discuss 5 areas to renew your mind for freedom and give you practical tools to walk it out daily. Let's get started.
If you're tired of leading others while secretly battling doubt, discouragement, and mental warfare,
and you want practical tools to renew your mind and walk boldly in your calling as a leader,
you're in the right place. Welcome to Believe and Become.
We're Josh and Karina, your spirit-filled coaches here to help you overcome those limiting beliefs and lead others confidently.
If you're ready to hear God's voice more clearly, to step into your purpose and find joy and strength in the everyday,
silence those Bible app reminders judging you from your lock screen, and let's jump in. Hey friend, before we get started, we've got a quick invite for you. If you're a spirit-filled Christian in leadership who's been caring a lot lately, maybe you're tired, overthinking, or just wondering how to find your next breakthrough, we would love to help. Sign up for a free 25-minute transformation session where we'll help you get clarity and create a practical plan to move forward in peace. You'll also learn about our one-on-one coaching program designed to help you renew your mind and lead from presence instead of pressure. Just head to joshandkarina.com/coaching. That's joshandkarina.com/coaching to book your session. Now, let's dive in.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're so glad you're here with us. We're excited today to share this message about mind renewal in order to get truly free. And it is something that we have lived and learned, and we're excited to share it with you. We're excited for what God is going to do in you. Even as you listen to this, God is going to give you grace to change the way that you think. And that will change your life. So I just want to share a story with you of a time in my life where I was really struggling with my thoughts. I was really discouraged. Never thought that things were going to work out the way that I wanted them to. I had a great life, but I was just really stuck in a cycle of negative thinking that my life was bad, that God had basically given up on me. I would constantly have this thought, my life is terrible. I remember getting up every day before work and I'd be in the shower thinking, my life is terrible. My life is terrible, you know, and just really stuck feeling bad. And I had tried to change the way that I was thinking. I would say, oh, don't think that. Don't think that. I spent a lot of time saying, oh, I can't think that thought. Oh, that's a bad thought. Don't think that one. Yeah. And that kind of helped a little bit, but it never really truly gave me the transformation. I never experienced the freedom that, well, I kind of knew deep down that God had for me.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I reached a point years later, it was a Saturday morning. I got up, took a shower, and I came out after I got dressed. And Karina asked me, she goes, how are you feeling today? And I was like, great. I'm doing amazing. And she looked at me and said, who are you? And what have you done with my husband? Because that was not my normal response.
No, it was usually like,
yeah, that's pretty accurate. And what I had decided that morning was, instead of listening to my own thoughts, I decided to ask the Holy Spirit, how do you think I'm doing? Yeah. What do you think about me? Mm-hmm. Because I can't trust myself and my thoughts anymore. Obviously, that hasn't been working out very well. Mm-hmm. And that's all I said was, God, how am I doing today? Mm-hmm. And that's what I heard. He said, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. I'm so pleased with you. You're going to have a great day today. And it was just this overwhelmingly positive, filled with love message for me. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to believe. And I'm just going to go with that. And yeah. So that's when Karina asked me how I was doing. That's what I said, because that's what God told me. And there's something really powerful about when we decide to replace the lies and the negative thoughts that have been on repeat in our minds for so long, we replace them with the truth.
Yeah.
The truth of what God says. Mm-hmm. It's not just enough to say, I'm not going to think that anymore. That's really hard to overcome a thought unless you replace it with the truth. Mm-hmm. So having a game plan of, when this thought comes back up that my life is terrible, I'm going to say, no, it's not. God is for me. He's doing amazing things. Here's the list of the 10 great things he's done in my life in the last month. And just say the truth in your mind, or say it out loud. That's even more powerful. Saying that truth over yourself is so, so powerful. And that will break the stronghold of thinking, if you're experiencing that, and that I was experiencing. And that worked. That is something that I continue to practice today. And I've experienced so much more freedom since I made that one simple shift.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something to before Josh was trying to do it on his own strength. Like you're like, I'm going to push past this attack. Yeah. I'm going to change the way that I think by not thinking that thing, right? And that left you struggling. That left you in not a good place because you weren't replacing those lies with the truth to change and rewire your thinking. You were just trying not to think it, which really doesn't work.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. That was really tiring because I actually tried that for a long time off and on, but it was exhausting. But once I decided I'm going to take the truth and say that instead of thinking those thoughts, then the old thoughts start to die away.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was huge for me.
And that's such a beautiful picture of Romans 12:2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Because you're not just stopping something. You're actually rewiring, replenishing, retraining, and being changed. You're renewing your mind with the truth instead of the lies. Steve Backlund says that we can renew our mind with lies or with truth. And so if we're constantly thinking the bad things, then we're basically renewing our mind to the bad thing. We're teaching ourselves to think that way. But if we renew our mind with the truth, then we are going to be transformed. We are going to be changed because that's how it works. That's how the word of God works, to change us when we allow it to replace the lie.
No. And that's a promise that if you go through the process of renewing your mind, you will be transformed when you partner with Jesus and let him do that work in you. Another verse that we love is 2 Corinthians 5:17. That says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here.
Yeah.
So many of us spend so many time trying to fix ourselves, fix an old life, instead of just saying, I have a new life in Christ. When you accept Jesus, you become a brand new creation. You're no longer your old person that you used to be. Your sin nature is dead. Stop trying to revive the dead guy.
Yeah.
He's already dead. Dead guys can't speak into your life anymore.
Yeah.
Let him be dead and say, I'm a new person. And one of the declarations that we love to use is this one. It says, I'm not called to fix an old life, but to live a new life in Christ. I'm not called to fix an old life, but to live a new life in Christ.
That's so key, because one of the biggest tools that the enemy tries to use against us is regret. It's shame, it's condemnation about who we used to be, about the things we used to do. And here's the thing, if the Apostle Paul could say these things, if he could say, I'm a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, I think most of us can do that really easily
considering
too.
Considering what he did.
Considering who Paul was before he was the Apostle Paul, he murdered Christians. That was his mission, was to kill Christians. And for him to be able to say, the old is gone, the new has come, that's so huge. And so for us, for me, for you, to say, the old is gone, the person I used to be, the things I used to do, the way I used to talk, the people I used to hang out with, that is dead and gone. And I am a new creation in Christ. I'm not going to try to fix all those old habits and just put some lipstick on that old dead person. I'm going to live a new life in Christ. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to change my mind based on what he thinks about me, based on what he tells me I should do and where I should go. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to live in shame and fear and regret. I get the privilege of walking a new life with Christ. And that is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think so many of us were taught that the Christian life is all about overcoming sin, trying to, oh my gosh, I got to try really hard to defeat sin in my life and live this righteous life. But what Paul is saying here is, you've already got it. That part of you is dead.
Yeah.
So stop resurrecting it. You know, just let it be dead.
It's not resurrecting it. It's digging it up and carrying it around.
That's right. I'm going
to. You're like literally digging up your dead guy and strapping him to your back.
Yeah, that's.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's not fun.
And then we wonder why we're heavy and we're, you know, overwhelmed and we just don't have the strength to live our everyday lives. It's because we're trying so hard to change the old person when that's God's job. Like, he's already done that. Jesus paid the price. Your job is to walk in the new life that he's given you.
It's so freeing once you realize that that part of you is dead.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have to fight that battle.
Yeah.
And how you do that is you realize that the battle is in your mind. It's in our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So many of us keep trying to fight our sin nature, or sometimes we think that spiritual warfare is casting out demons, which, I mean, sometimes you got to do that. But I think the main battle that we fight as believers is in our thoughts.
Yeah.
That's our spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Battle is in our minds. And that's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And he's talking about, we live in the world. We don't wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. He's talking about these strongholds are patterns of thinking that we have rehearsed and established in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It's all talking about thoughts. I used to read this verse and I had no idea really what it meant.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I have some weapons that I use. They're not from the world. And I'm so confused by this verse.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's about spiritual warfare, but I think it's about casting things out, which I mean, that's not really what it's about. He's talking about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And that's what we're talking about, this process of asking the Holy Spirit, make you aware of what you're thinking. That's not true. It's not from him. He makes you aware of that. You say, okay, that's not my thought. I don't have to think it. Actually, here's the truth and what I want to think.
Yeah.
And it's just a process of renewing your mind. And that process, that will actually change the structure in your brain. You have the power to create new structures in your brain. And then you won't think the old way. Your automatic thinking won't go to the negative, to the bad things that you've been thinking forever. It goes to the positive of God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that I experienced that, it was kind of crazy. You're like, oh my gosh.
It works.
It works. I thought the right thing.
Yeah.
I thought truth. When normally I know I would react in this situation with, oh my gosh, everything is terrible. My life is falling apart. I just had a thought that, no, this is all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild. It is like the best feeling. You're like, all of that time that I've spent rehearsing the truth has paid off.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is something that's really important to recognize is that you're preparing for the battle, right? You're in the battle. You're in the fight as you, every time you choose not to agree with the lie, but you choose to declare the truth, you're in the battle. But really what you're doing is you're strengthening for the real fight that comes when something happens that instigates that thought pattern again. So I might wake up and feel okay and be like, okay, well, I'm going to do my declarations today. And I'm going to remind myself that God is on my side, that today is going to be a great day, that the future is going to be better than the present. I can remind myself all these things. And yeah, that's great. But the day that I wake up and, you know, I can't move because I have a pinched nerve, or the day that we are awakened in the middle of the night because one of our kids is vomiting, like in those moments, then you get to go, that's okay. God's on my side. I'm not going to be shaken. That's okay. I walk with peace. Peace is my greatest weapon in this fight. And you get to respond in a way that has not been your natural way of responding. And so you're strengthening yourself for the day of battle. And I think that's really important that we recognize that I'm practicing joy. I'm practicing peace. I'm practicing these important things that are going to see me through difficult times. And that's really important. That as we renew our minds, we recognize this is strength for today, but it's also strength for tomorrow, and it's strength for the battle that's ahead, because life happens and we need to be prepared. And this is how we do it. We fight those little battles in our mind all along the way, so that when there's warfare, we're ready to stand in peace. We're ready to fight with the weapons that we now know how to use.
Yeah, that's so good. So we understand that the battle is in our minds. And the other reason that we do that is so that we can fulfill God's purpose for us.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yeah.
And if we're stuck in old ways of thinking of, oh my gosh, I just got to overcome this sin, or my life is terrible, or God is not going to come through for me. These are just little lies that we start rehearsing in our minds, and that becomes a stronghold. We won't be prepared to do the good things that God has prepared for us to do in the future.
Yeah.
He has a purpose and a calling for each and every one of us. And so the more that we can step into the truth of what God is saying over us, then we'll be ready to do the things that he's called us to do. And that's where you get to feel the purpose of your life being fulfilled.
Yeah.
That is huge.
And I think that was evident in your story about the way that you were thinking, we both together, because of those, that struggle, felt stuck. And we were doing ministry, and I think anybody would have looked at us and said we were doing what we were created to do, but it wasn't from the right place. It wasn't from the place of purpose and of presence. We were doing it out of striving, and we were so tired and so overwhelmed all the time that there wasn't much energy for anything else. It was like work, ministry, and then crash on the couch and fall asleep by 8 o'clock, right? There wasn't that sense of purpose and sense of calling that you were walking in and living in. And I think that's so important that we recognize God created us for a purpose. There's something that you are created to do, and that is going to bring life to you if you are doing it with Him. And so recognizing I can work for God, but I can also work with God. And working with God is so much better. It's so much more fulfilling. It's so much more beautiful. And so that ability to renew our minds with the truth, to walk in that new life, that really prepares us to do those good works and to live a life that is fulfilled.
Yeah. That's so good. And so let's talk about how we renew your mind. There's actually five areas of mind renewal that we want to talk about today. And that's God's promises, our biblical identity, our prophetic words, testimonies, and then the decisions and commitments that we've made. Mm-hmm. And these are five key areas that you want to actually focus on and spend some time cultivating how you're going to think in each one of these areas.
Yeah, okay.
And it's so important. So let's talk about each one of them quickly. So the first one is God's promises. And so that's all of God's word. What he said that he's going to do in your life.
Yeah.
What he said that he's already done for you.
Yeah.
And so we have to inhabit those promises. That's our promised land, right? And just like the Israelites had to go defeat some giants so that they could inhabit their land, we have to do that. In order to inhabit God's promises, we have to go defeat the giants of wrong thinking.
Yeah.
And so especially if there's verses that God has highlighted to you, ones that you know are key to your life, having those ready to go and rehearsing those regularly on a daily basis is the best way to do that, is to go through your verses. If there's things that you feel that God has spoken to you that feel specific, personal, write those down and have them ready to go so that you're constantly in those. You're renewing your mind with what God has said he's doing in you and what he's doing through you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the next one is your biblical identity. What does the Lord say about who you are? What does the Bible say about who you are? We get so caught up in who we think we are and what the world says we are, what our parents or our siblings or the kids at school, who other people have told us that we are. But what does God say about you? What does the Bible say about you as a person, as a child of God? What does that truly mean to be his child? What are the promises and the things that you can hold on to through the scripture? Even that 2 Corinthians 5:17, that I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and I will walk a new life in Christ. I am not the person I used to be. I am a new creation. I am not condemned. I am accepted. And so looking through the scripture and saying, what does the Bible say about who I am in Christ? And how does that compare with what I think about me?
I love how you made those into declarations that you could say over yourself every single day. Those are your identity is so important, to know who you are, know who he's created you to be, and to live in that, because we can't consistently do something that we don't believe we are.
Yeah.
So it's so important to remind yourself every day.
And
who am I? A
good example of that is the example that Wendy uses. Wendy Backlund says, I knew I was called to write books, but my declaration of I write books wasn't good enough. I had to believe I was an author. And so she had to start declaring, I'm an author, which feels inauthentic. But the Lord told her, whether you write a book or not, when you get to heaven, you will be known as an author, because that is who I created you to be. And that is so important that we recognize who God has created you to be personally. But just start with that biblical identity, because as you recognize who you are in him, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a chosen kingdom, nation, person, your life is to declare his glory, then you begin to see things differently. You begin to see yourself differently. If you don't know necessarily what he's called you to do or who he's called you to be, you can just go to the word and start to declare your biblical identity. And that's going to start to inspire those thoughts and those dreams of who he made you to be.
So the next category is your prophetic words. Mm-hmm. So these are words that you might have received from other people at church. It could be things that you feel that God has spoken to you directly. These are things for your future, that God is making happen in your life. And of course, prophetic words are always going to agree with the scripture. So if you receive a word from somebody, you always want to test that against what God's word says. But you want to have those in front of you. And hopefully you are in a prophetic culture. Not all of us have that at our churches and in our communities. And so if you haven't received a prophetic word, just email us and we'd be happy to give you one.
We really would.
We would. We'll send you one if you email us. But these are, again, these are just promises of what God has in store for you for your future. The more that you live in those, the more that you remind yourself, oh yeah, I had this word that God's going to do this in my future. It changes the way that you think. It changes the way that you act and you react in certain situations, because you know that thing that seems kind of weird, that actually lines up with a word that I received from someone, a word that I received from the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. And remember that a prophetic word, a true prophetic word from the Lord, gives you the grace to do that thing. Yeah. And so it may feel huge or big. It may feel like, I don't know if I could ever do that, but God's giving you the grace to walk that thing out. So walk with that knowledge that he goes before me and he's preparing the way. The next thing to renew your mind with is your testimonies. And the testimonies are so valuable and so important because they prophesy what the Lord will do. Revelation 19 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we rehearse those testimonies, we're actually prophesying of what the Lord can do. And so when you look at what God has already done, then you can prophesy that into your future, that he healed you, that he delivered you, that he paid for that thing that you didn't think you were going to be able to afford, whatever it might be. Those testimonies in your life of what he has done, those are prophetic words for your future. And when you remember the testimonies, when you remember what God has brought you through, it's really hard to look at the future and go, well, he's probably not going to do it again. Or this thing is too big for God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. When we renew our mind with the testimonies, then we actually increase our faith. We're building ourselves up in our faith. So keep a list of those things, from the littlest miracle to the biggest thing that you can think of. And some of those testimonies might feel really insignificant and really small, but there are things that you can encourage yourself with, and then things that you get to encourage others with too, which is really special.
And these don't just have to be testimonies from your life.
Yeah.
Those, of course, are very powerful. But also, any other person's testimony can be your testimony.
Yes.
That person was healed. That person overcame addiction. That over and over again, the goodness of God. Those are for all of us. And the testimonies of what Jesus did in the Bible and through the disciples, through every person, every character in the Bible, what God did, his faithfulness, how he showed up for them. Those are all promises to us of what God will do again in the future.
Yeah. Amen.
So the last category is decisions and commitments that we've made.
Yeah.
And it's so important to understand where we're going with our decisions. They're decisions we make every single day that shapes our lives. And so we need to know that we're making the right decisions, that we brought them before the Lord, that we have a good process of making those decisions, things that we've committed to do. Because you can kind of do things out of duty and obligation. Like, I said I was going to do that. I don't really want to, but I'm doing it because I have to. And you're going to show up and you're not going to have a lot of faith for it. And you're not going to be as effective as if, okay, I made a commitment to this. I believe the Lord has called me to this. He's given me grace for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show up with everything, all of me.
Yeah.
And show up 100% and give it everything that I've got because, I know that I have a word from the Lord. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's a totally different way. And you're going to see totally different results in what you're doing. And so if you're in a situation where it's like, okay, I've signed up for this, but I'm really not feeling it, bring it back to the Lord and either reaffirm, yes, I'm supposed to do this, or actually this is not the right thing for me. And then say, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not able to, I'm not able to do that. But you need to have a process of where these are things that I'm passionate about, I'm going to do because it's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. I think this is the area that can probably feel a little bit difficult, but remember that the Lord is leading you. And so if we can learn to make decisions and commit to things with the Lord, some of us are impulsive, right? Some of you probably never just say yes automatically. Some of you probably think these things through, but a lot of us are a little bit more impulsive and are like, oh yeah, sure, I'll totally do that. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Or, oh, you feel obligated, right? Like, yeah, I guess I can do that. And so we do it, like Josh said, out of obligation. But really, if we can just take a moment and say, Lord, what do you think? What should I do here? I've been working on this because this is something where I have been impulsive in the past. And so then I kind of went the other extreme where I just mostly said no a lot. So I've just been working with the Holy Spirit on this. And just anytime something comes up, I stop and ask, Lord, is this something you want me to do? And it can be hard when it feels like an opportunity, something where you feel like, oh, this feels like maybe the Lord is opening a door. And he goes, yeah, don't do that. It feels hard to say no, but I'm recognizing that I can listen to his voice and I can say yes or no based on what he says. And then I have peace about that. I'm not kicking myself because I didn't do that thing. I'm not living in regret, or I'm not at an event or at a commitment, you know, and feeling like, oh, this totally sucks. I don't know why I'm here. And so recognizing when I make decisions with him, when I commit to things with the Lord, then I actually have so much more freedom in those things. And I feel so much better about being in the situation. And so making those decisions with him and then putting faith in that, I have made this decision. And if you've made decisions or commitments that you have to live up to without him, just do it. Just attach faith to it and say, you know what? The Lord is leading me. And whether or not this feels great, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it with faith that God's going to show up. And he will. He always does.
So those are the five areas to renew your mind: God's promises, our biblical identity, our prophetic words, testimonies, and then the decisions and commitments that we've made.
It might feel like this is not what I'm struggling with. You might have tuned into this episode with something really specific that you're like, I wanted freedom in this area. But these areas are so foundational to who you are and how you live your life, that if you can get your thinking right, if you can tear down the old strongholds and create new strongholds in these areas, it fixes so many things. And it fixes your understanding of where you are, your ideas about who you're supposed to be. There's so much that comes into alignment when you begin to renew your mind in these areas, that it will bring freedom no matter what. There will be freedom in more than just these five areas of your life. It's important to recognize when I have right thinking about God's promises, about who I am, about what he says about me, about what he's calling me to do, a lot of those other places start to line up because you begin to see the areas where, oh, that actually is not in line with who God says I am, or that's not actually in line with the promises of the word. And so just start here, start with these areas, and you'll begin to see freedom in the places where you need it most.
So how do we do this? We're going to do declarations, mm-hmm. which is just saying those truths out loud. Mm-hmm. Biblical meditation, living in a scripture and going over it and over it and over it, chewing on it until you get all the nutrients out of that scripture. That is huge. Being prepared with the promises that you found in the Bible. God said, hey, this is a verse for you. This mm-hmm. is my promise to you. Those are all really powerful ways to do that. Another one is beliefs training, which is actually a process that we go through with our clients to identify any lies that we're believing. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to identify what is the truth. Mm-hmm. And then we turn those into declarations that you're going to say over yourself until you break that stronghold of old thinking, that old lie that you were believing for too long. Mm-hmm. That's another process that we love to bring our clients through. And we personally have both seen huge fruit from that in our lives and seen God completely change the way that we think. Another one is journaling, just writing down what you're hearing God speak today, what verses he's highlighting for you, what you learned when you're studying your Bible, reading your word, when mm-hmm. you're praying, what God was identifying to you. And having that written down is so powerful because one, it reinforces it in our minds. Yeah. But two, you can go back and throughout the week, what was that thing that God said? Yeah, I remember that at the beginning of the week, he gave me this promise. And this is obviously what that's for today. And so being able to go back through that and just see the process that the Lord has you on is so powerful. And so to help you with that, we've actually created a daily journaling page for Breakthrough. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer that as a free PDF for you. So the link will be in the show note for you to click on that and get that resource for you. And that's something that you can do every single day. And that will help you to retrain your mind and to live in these five areas of mind renewal that we've gone over today.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Go ahead and click that link in the show notes to download your free daily journaling page for breakthrough. We believe that God is going to do great things in you as you take a few minutes every day just to write down those things that He is speaking to you.
We'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode.
Bye. Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share this podcast with someone who may need encouragement or practical tools for fighting their battle?
Then rate and review this podcast. Help us spread the message of transformation far and wide.
All right, time to walk back into the noise with peace, purpose, and maybe a tiny bit of caffeine.
We'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode.
Bye.